Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
This is two really good teams colliding, and it's fun. It really is fun, because when you're the best, when you think that you're the best, when you play the best, when you know that you're the best, when you think that you're the best, whatever it is, and the competitiveness comes, and it just comes, and it just comes, it's beautiful to be a part of.
Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. We're all looking forward to Sunday afternoon. Bills, Chiefs, the undefeated Chiefs coming into Orchard Park, and we welcome in Alex Brasky covering the Bills, Bills Digest, the Batavia Daily News. Hey, before we talk football, Brasky, Gino and I were talking earlier in the show. Who you got tonight? You got Tyson or you got Jake Paul? Who do you got?
I am hoping for Tyson. Not a big Jake Paul fan, but I think Jake Paul is going to win this one. I think Tyson is, what is he, approaching 50? Is he over 50? I'm not sure.
He's over 50.
He's 58.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, approaching 60. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure he has a hope in this one. I don't think he's got any George Foreman heroics in store for us.
No, he's a lot more yoked than Foreman was when he got back into the ring. He's massive.
He does look good in that Speedo, I'll tell you that. I saw him last night. He is rock solid still. Iron Mike, as they say.
Alex, what does this look like if Amari Cooper's not out there, or he's out there with, like, one hand? Like, what can you tell us here about the two guys that are questionable, Amari Cooper and then Spencer Brown, right tackle here?
Yeah, it doesn't look great in terms of the Bills' pass-catching core. Amari Cooper, still wearing that wrap on his injured right wrist, appears set to play with it on Sunday. He does appear set to play. We talked with him on Thursday, and he does say he's going to give it a go, but I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to contribute with that wrist. He was catching some passes from Josh Allen in practice on Thursday. That was the first time we saw him do so since sustaining that wrist injury. But it's a lot different in the game, right, with a defender on you in traffic to come down with those passes with that encumbrance on your hand can certainly prove difficult. And I think the bigger deal is you're now without Dalton Kincaid. So what are you going to get from Dawson Knox? Maybe a little bit more Quentin Morris, and Matt Collins and Curtis Samuel are going to have to step up as well with Keon Coleman remaining out.
Alex, I always think with the Bills and what it's been recently, it's been a race to 30. If you can get 30 points out of the Bills offense, then the defense will do enough for you to get that win, and it's kind of been the fuel to get them here on this winning streak against Kansas City's defense. I feel like it's more like, for both teams, a race to 20. Do you see the game the same way? Do you feel like this might be a lower scoring affair than what Vegas or a lot of casual fans might expect out of Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely. It's been quite some time since this Kansas City team allowed 30 points to an opposing offense. And if you look back at the history of this matchup since 2017, it's really hovered right around that 20-25 point mark is what you kind of earmark for each team. The last matchup last year in the postseason, 27-24, then you had a 20-17, 24-20. I think that's what you can expect in this one, with the Chiefs having perhaps the best defense in the NFL, the Bills' defense also performing top-notch this year. And with the injuries the Bills have encountered on the offensive side of the ball, I think they might try to grind this one out, use their running game to their advantage. So, Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a shootout in this one, 40, 35, anything like that. I think it's going to be a well-played game from both sides and right around that 20, 25-point mark. I've yet to do my prediction on my five takes, but that's where I'm sitting at this point.
Okay. Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, Batavia Daily News. Alex, I'm going to go off the road here just a little bit here. And you know, one of the storylines here is, hey, the Bills have been putting up points. How are they doing this without Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and all these, and Mench Morse and everything? And, well, I'm bringing this up in the context. We were talking before you came on. There's a report from Josina Anderson that if the Jaguars lose to Detroit, that their head coach would be fired, Doug Peterson. And what about the viability of Joe Brady as a head coach? Is he going to get interviews? Is he ready for that? I certainly think that if the Bills go, you know, on this run here, some of the credit's going to go in his way. How do you view Brady at this point in his career?
Yeah, I think he's certainly trending in that direction, and the way that the Bills have been able to ease into this transition on the offensive side of the ball certainly bodes well in terms of his head coaching candidacy in the future. And if you listen to him talk during his press conferences, that's certainly on his mind. A young coach, up and coming, came from the college ranks, really was jet set for stardom and took a step back there in Carolina, but has really regrouped in a good situation here in Buffalo. I think he's got leadership material written all over him. He's seen a lot in these two stops, and coaching under a veteran head coach such as Sean McDermott has certainly served him well as well. So, yeah, I think he's got head coaching material written all over him. I'm not sure if it'll be after this season, perhaps in the future if the Bills continue along this trajectory offensively. But I really like what he's done with this Bills offense, making it a more balanced unit, kind of reining in Josh Allen a little bit, taking some of the pressure off his shoulders and allowing him to operate within the confines of the offense. So it's been impressive what he's been able to do, particularly when you understand the transition that they had to go through entering this season. So yeah, I think he's on the road for a head coaching job, and it's just a matter of when, I think, not if.
Alex, you know, it's something that is a massive part of their success offensively that doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion, and that is the continuity that they've had on the offensive line. And if we don't see Spencer Brown on Sunday, I want to say that's the first time that we haven't had the same five guys on, well, I mean, certainly this season, but even dating back to last year, you still had that continuity where all the guys were starting every game. So tell us what we know about Ryan Vandermark here, a guy that might get thrust into duty if Brown misses time.
Yeah, I mentioned all the transition this offense went through during the offseason. I was one that was very concerned about the transition that they'd go through along the offensive line with David Edwards being inserted at left guard and Connor McGovern taking over at center. But, boy, they've really hit the ground running and made that transition a smooth one as well. We talked with Brown after, I believe it was Wednesday's practice. His ankle's still a bit swollen. He was wearing a sandal trying to get some range of motion in that ankle, and then during Thursday's practice I saw him in the field house working with athletic trainers. So it seems like he's doing everything he can to get out there on Sunday. It's just going to be a matter of how effective can he be playing through that injury and whether or not they want to test him in that regard. But Vandermark played well in his time on the field this past week against the Colts. He's been within the Bills system, kind of been a rising star for them. He was set back, I think, to begin the year when they elected to use Tylan Grable as that extra swing tackle, and Vandermark was inactive a few times until Grable was forced onto injured reserve. But I think they like what they've seen from Vandermark these past few seasons. He just has yet to really receive that opportunity to prove himself during a regular season opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to offer if he's provided starters snaps this weekend against the Chiefs, a defense that, like I said earlier, has performed as one of the best in the NFL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Alex, if the Bills come out on top, is Josh Allen, is the MVP his to lose if he gets in the regular season the win over Kansas City here? Or does that even, I mean, to what degree does it matter? I mean, Josh Allen's not going to talk about that publicly. Does that matter to him personally, do you think?
I would venture to say it does matter to him personally. Any competitor, you want to be considered the best at your position, the best in your sport for this matter. Especially the way that the Bills have kind of been jockeying for position with the Ravens and the Chiefs, and Allen has been jockeying for position with Mahomes and Jackson these past few years in terms of who's the best team and who's the best quarterback in the NFL. So I think it would be shocking if it didn't mean anything to him. But like you said, he's not going to come out and put that above the team goal. I think the ultimate goal is still beating the Chiefs. Beating whoever's in front of you in the playoffs, reaching the Super Bowl. And Josh Allen mentioned as much during his press availability this week, said that really all that matters is the Bills still haven't beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. So until they do that, they'll still have plenty left to prove. But in terms of the MVP race this season, it's tough for me to say that you can put Josh Allen out there at the forefront of it with the way that Lamar Jackson is playing. I know he's perhaps got more around him with that running game and Derrick Henry, what he's had to offer in his first season in Baltimore. But if you look back at that Houston game, Josh Allen, 9-for-30, and then two interceptions this past week against the Colts that were really ugly, I think those two games really stand out as subpar performances from Allen. And although he got it done when it mattered against the Colts, and you have to give him credit for that, they were able to come away with the win. There has been some ugly moments for him this year, and I'm not so sure there's been as many ugly moments for Jackson throughout the course of this season.
Alex, defensively, the run defense for the Buffalo Bills reared their ugly head again against the Colts, and Jonathan Taylor ran wild for a good part of the game. For some reason, they kind of went away from him in the second half of that game, and I have a feeling Kansas City won't make the same mistake, although it is not Jonathan Taylor or a back of that level. It is Kareem Hunt. And, you know, a guy who's gotten a lot of volume here in his return to Kansas City, but not a lot of efficiency. So if you're the Bills defense, if you're Sean McDermott here, what are you doing? What are you keying in on to slow down Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I think you need your defensive line to win his battles up front. Von Miller has really come on strong. He had a big run stuff this past week against the Colts. Greg Rousseau, we all know what he can do against the run. You need more from Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones. You just have not gotten enough from that duo this season. Daquan Jones might be toast as a player. He's dealt with injuries these past couple of years. He really came on strong to begin last season, but going out for that extended time, he's never been able to regenerate that momentum that we saw from him to start last season. And Ed Oliver has been a big-time disappointment after a huge season last year. They give him the contract, and he has not made the impact that they've expected out of him. He did deal with that hamstring injury, which forced him out of action, so you have to take that into account. But still, you need more from Oliver. You need more from Jones if he still has any left in the tank. And then some of these backup defensive tackles, some of these reserve guys, Jordan Phillips, Quentin Jefferson, both of them made an impact against the Colts. And if you look at that performance of the Bills' run defense against Indianapolis in totality, I think they performed a little bit better than it seemed against Jonathan Taylor. If you take away that long gain of about 40-something yards, he also had a 22-yard gain. But aside from that, I think they did a pretty good job on him in terms of stopping him with consistency. I think those two big gains, I think, kind of made things look a bit lot more lopsided than it was. But I think if you look at that performance from the Bills' run defense in totality, I think it was a little bit better than the numbers may indicate.
Alex, Matt Milano not going to be activated for this game, but then coming off a bye, perhaps, for the 49ers? I mean, it's a tough question for me to ask you because we really don't know. But what I can tell you from what we saw at camp, I was just wondering at camp, all right, that's a major knee issue he's coming off of. Might have this been a blessing in disguise, maybe, that because, you know, they gave him a little more time to work on that major knee injury here coming back here. What are your thoughts here on Milano and a possible return?
It's tough for me to say that it was a blessing in disguise. Any player at his age, not that he's an extremely old player, but an aging player, I think at 30 or just over 30, to have as extended of a layoff as he's experienced, I don't think that's good in any way, shape or form. But what I saw from him on Thursday, getting out there for the first time in view of the media since his pectoral injury during the preseason, didn't seem to be suffering any ill effects in terms of working the heavy tackling dummy or working against the sled. Now, we didn't see him pursuing defenders in the flat, working in coverage over the middle, so I think there's still maybe some paths to be crossed there. But what I saw from Milano on Thursday, I think he's healthy. I think he's ready to return after the bye week, and we'll see what he has to offer against the 49ers or perhaps the week after.
All right, so where do you stand, Alex, on this? Because we've been talking all week long about kind of managing expectations here. I mean, I think a lot of fans that view this game as if, well, if they lose, it doesn't matter because they're still going to win the division and they'll probably meet up again in the playoffs, and that's the game that really matters. Or are you of the belief that this game is everything for this team to get over on Kansas City and to get closer to potentially getting the one seed in the AFC, which is a route to the postseason that the Bills have yet to experience with Josh Allen?
No, I am not in the camp that this one seed means everything this season. I think in past years you thought it did with the Bills, and maybe it didn't turn out to be as important as you thought, with the last two seasons ending on the Bills' home field. So you also have to take that into account. But I think, for me, it comes down to the late bye for the Bills. The Bills having that Week 12 bye week, it's not as critical to have that bye in the first round of the playoffs as far as rest is concerned. The Chiefs had an early season bye week. It may be a bit more significant for them just to have that extra time off leading into that second season. But I think the Bills, with that Week 12 bye week, they'll have time to rest, recuperate, and then regenerate their momentum for the late season stretch. And perhaps a first-round bye would work against them in that case with that late season bye. So, no, I am not in the camp that it means everything. Now, you'd like to play on your own home field. You'd like to avoid playing in Kansas City. But my cohort, A.J. Cebulski, made a good point on our podcast right here, right now, last night, saying that really what it comes down to, you want to avoid getting that divisional round matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to find a way to get that 2 or 3 seed if the Chiefs are able to win out or work their way to that top seed. You want to avoid that matchup with the Chiefs in round 2.
Yeah, I think the 2 seed is certainly within play, and maybe you get to a point where the 2 seed is wrapped up, and then you kind of have a quasi-bye there in that last game against New England where you could rest some guys. Alex, appreciate your time here today. Batavia Daily News, Bills Digest, right here, right now podcast. What's coming up with in terms of content we can go check out here?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the sidelines today at the 8-man football final at Pittsford Sutherland High School. Two teams that we cover, Pembroke and Holly Lindenville, squaring off with some big-time 8-man football. Pembroke looking for the three-peat, so that should be exciting. But beyond that, tune in to thedailynewsonline.com. Myself, AJ, covering the Bills matchup this weekend against the Chiefs, the Right Here, Right Now podcast on YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And, of course, Aaron Boone, one more year.
Oh, you must be very excited. You know, we're going to have Mike Catalan on 13 WHAM on Monday, and he's texting me his excitement about the Phillies pursuing Juan Soto. Are you worried about your Yankees if Juan Soto just goes to the highest bidder and it's not the Yankees?
Oh, of course. He was everything for them this season, and particularly in the playoffs with the way that Aaron Judge crapped the bed, as they say. Yeah, you need to get Juan Soto back. You need to sell the house, as they say, do anything you can, especially you cannot let him go to the New York Mets. That cannot happen. Even more than you need him on your team, you cannot let him go to Queens with Steve Cohen in that squad and let Gene celebrate. You can't let that happen.
I don't know, Gene. Would you be happy if you had Juan Soto on your roster?
I told Catalana when he's the like $700 million. No, I don't like building a team like that.
Still say no.
I still say no. I'd still say go get Corbin Burns. Go get some other pieces. Let Soto stay with the Yankees, Alex. There you go. Don't say I'm not a generous guy.
You don't want Soto then.
Not at that price.
Not at that price. I just don't think that that's the guy you build your team around. Like, guys at that price should be generational, like a Judge or an Otani.
You don't consider Soto generational?
No, because then we would have three generational players in the sport at the same time. At best, he's number four right now, behind Harper at number three.
Well, let's workshop this, Gene.
Alex, enjoy your weekend, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, boys.
Appreciate you. Alex Brasky, check out his work at the Batavia Daily News. Does a great job as the editor of Bill's Digest as well.
Okay. Would you agree with me on that, like in terms of generational talents in baseball today?
All right. Give me your top five.
Top five. All right. Well, am I putting Soto at four? I mean, it's Otani and Judge. I'm putting Otani ahead of Judge. I'm still got Harper at three.
And then you say Soto at four?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put Skeens?
Got to see more.
Got to see more out of Soto, too?
He's 26. No, he's ready. He's ready. He's going to make some team.
Somebody's going to pay him $700 million,
right, but then something could go side. Like, I thought Tatis was on this track, and he still may be, but now he kind of did some things that was on himself there.
Not sold on Soto. More sold on Judge. And Judge has been at it a while now, but Judge hasn't won anything. Harper, I like Harper. I like that a lot.
Mike Trout.
Not a winner. Not my top five. Get out of here.
No.
Not a winner.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Nice player.
Bobby Witt Jr. would be number five probably for me.
Yeah, nice player. You wouldn't want him at $700 million.
No, just because you're going to be looking around the room at that point. Is that the guy you want for year after year?
Well, we don't know what kind of a teammate he is. I mean, all counts is he's a pretty good teammate. He's,
sure. So,
yeah. Well, I love Alex coming in here and laying it all off for us here. Bills and Chiefs, of course, late afternoon window on Sunday, and Orchard Park is just going to be buzzing with the NFL Today. Hanging out and everything that comes with that.
The extra few hours of tailgating, too. Like if you normally, just work this out. Like, normally, okay, you know what? We're going to leave, like, at 8:30, 4.5 hours before 1 o'clock kickoff. You're not leaving at 11:30. You're still leaving, like, at 9 or 10.
Yeah, you're going early.
Yeah, you're going earlier, yeah. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, and the weather, decent, right? Overcast.
Overcast, but... Yeah, not gonna
manageable.
Not
nothing
rain,
that'll
no.
Nothing that'll affect our moods. We'll have our own attitude adjustments before kickoff. I love that. And of course, you mentioned Mike Catalano will be stopping by the sports bar come Monday for his reaction. And I says here that Jay Binkley is going to be stopping by as well. Win or lose, he's coming into the sports bar again Monday afternoon.
I could just record it right now, you know, fellas. This doesn't mean anything. Like, it's really good, you know. Like, we'll just kind of check back. We didn't have, like, the excuses will be there. We didn't have Harrison Bucker. We had the backup kicker missed a kick.
That'll be a Monday afternoon.
Oh, we should mention, too, for next week, this time next week, you and I will be a few cold ones in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Our next Friday football talk live from Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue in the neighborhood of the Arts. Bye week, Friday Football Talk Live.
Yeah, and bye week, and then your favorite holiday, my favorite holiday. It's kicking off Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
So, yes, we will talk to Andy Behrens as we normally do on a Friday. Chris Trapasso will be coming in, CBS Sports. So we'll kind of discuss here what he's seen off the Bills roster and also look ahead to the draft a little bit. And then the Nighthawks will be stopping by, too. They're doing their kickoff party right there, and Who knows? I wonder if they have the Sprucifer over there yet, Dan. Oh,
Sprucifer's a good one, yeah.
Is that too soon for this?
I don't think so. I don't think it's too soon. I'll look that up. That's an all-timer. But I got to say, the Leaping Hazy has really kind of like warmed my heart this football season as well.
Yeah, and if the Nighthawks are there, we'll be tasting the Nighthawk Hazy IPA,
Hazy IPA is, I mean, you really can't go wrong with anything they're serving on tap there at Three Heads. So we invite you to come out and enjoy some delicious Three Heads and some Friday Football Talk Live with the Sports Bar. We'll be there a week from today in the neighborhood of the arts on Atlantic Avenue. From 3 until 6, we look forward to seeing you there. Cut out early. Get your Thanksgiving week started early a week from today. Happy Hour is next on The Fan. We'll continue to discuss Bills and Chiefs. We heard from Sean McDermott. We'll get the injury update from the coach and go over that injury update and who's in and who's out. And break down this matchup, give our predictions as well. You can do likewise at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.